How's it going, guys, and welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. For today's episode, I got an NFL divisional round recap for you guys with my good friend Jacob. We talk about every single game, break it down, and what that means going forward. We also give a sneak peek of the championship round heading up next week. Super exciting stuff, lots of stuff to talk about. Let's dive straight into it.
Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom.
And once again, welcome back to HQI Sports. I'm your host, Josh Shops. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of HQI Sports. I really do appreciate it. Just before we dive into this breakdown episode, just want to say very quickly to all my new listeners or listeners who are kind of new to HQI Sports, be sure to go follow me on my social media accounts, specifically my Twitter account, which is HQI_sports. My Instagram account is Josh_Hobbs22. And also, be sure to go subscribe to the YouTube channel, HQI Sports. Really starting to go to that channel, you know, posting clips from these podcast recordings. I do highly recommend that as well. But yeah, we got an NFL divisional round breakdown for you guys today. Lots of exciting games. Actually, the games where I thought were going to be the most exciting were not. And then there's games that I thought were going to be a little bit less exciting. They actually were exciting. Very close games in almost all of them. And from the outcomes of these games, an incredibly exciting championship round of football. Also kind of nerve-wracking, but still very exciting. And with all that being said, let's dive straight into this breakdown. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. And today, me and Jacob are discussing the NFL divisional round. And oh my God, how exciting was that? But first, how are you doing today, Jacob?
I'm good. There's a lot to talk about that happened over the weekend. And we're down to four, Josh.
I was just, but I'm going to say in the intro, and then there were four, right in the intro there, but you already took that away from me. But yeah, there's four teams left, and we're going to talk about each one of the games right now. And like, I think we were talking about it just before we came on. We're going to talk about these in chronological order. So if I'm remembering correctly, the first game this weekend was the Packers and the Rams. And do you just want to dive right into it?
Yeah, let's just talk about what needs to be talked about. Aaron Rodgers was able to overcome the potent LA Rams defense, which was a talking point throughout the entire week. Is the number one offense in the league in the Green Bay Packers going to be able to overcome the number one defense in the league in the Los Angeles Rams? And it's hard for me, Josh, as much as we want to sit up here and say that this was Jared Goff's fault that the Rams lost. And it really wasn't. We both said that if Jared Goff does just enough to put the offense over the hump, that the Rams have a real shot of winning this game. And he did just that. I mean, he accounted for 15 of the 18 points, and he put Matt Gay in a position to kick a field goal. But the reality is Aaron Rodgers was just too much for the Rams.
Yeah, I almost couldn't say it better. You know, I previewed this game, and I thought the Packers were going to win, but I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it did. And even that final score, 32-18, doesn't, you know, highlight how much of a blowout this really was. Like, there was no stopping Aaron Rodgers today, and I thought, you know, Davante Adams was going to be held back a decent amount, but, you know, Jalen Ramsey in that really good Rams secondary, not the case at all. He had a great day. Basically no slowdown from the Rams or the Packers offense at all. The Rams, you know, hung in there just a little bit, but like you said, I can't believe how well this Packers offense, you know, was able to handle this Rams defense. And I guess that just goes to show, you know, having an elite offense is more important than having an elite defense in this day and age in the NFL.
Yeah, it's hard to find a weakness in this Green Bay team. So you've got Aaron Rodgers, who is the MVP, I don't want to say front runner, but it's 1-2 with Mahomes right now. And there's no real, you know, third place for the MVP race this season. Aaron Jones has been phenomenal all season, and AJ Dillon, who they drafted this year, has shown that he can be a good 1-2 punch with Aaron Jones. And the receiving core, you know, Davante Adams, obviously top three, top five wide receiver, wherever you want to put him. And Mark Valdez-Scantling, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has also been.
It's a tough name.
It is a mouthful. But he has proven to be a legitimate number two. You know, whether it be out wide or in the slot, wherever you want to put him, he's been good, and he's been a reliable second option for Aaron Rodgers, along with Alan Lazard. He's also been a very good number two. So it's hard to find a true weak point. I guess you could turn to the O-line with David Bakhtiari being out with the injury that he had. But, I mean, the O-line held their own against guys like Aaron Donald, who were on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Right. I would agree with that, too. And I guess like there's not really a lot to discuss in this game. I'll just kind of say this, you know, the Packers obviously have an elite offense, and their defense, I talked about this earlier, their defense is good, but it's certainly not great. And in this day and age in the NFL, when you go up against, you know, a great offense, you need to have a counterpunch. You need to be able to punch back quickly. And that's what the Rams were lacking in this game. Like, yeah, the Rams defense obviously did not play their best game, but even though they were going against one of the top offenses left in the playoffs, but with even if I think Jared Goff was, you know, mostly healthy, I wouldn't expect him to be able to punch back going toe to toe with this Packers offense. And I think this just, it sounds bad because obviously he's coming off thumb surgery, for Christ's sake, and it's on his throwing thumb. But like I said, in this day and age in the NFL, you need to be able to punch back when you go against these heavy offenses. And I personally don't see Jared Goff ever becoming that quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's peaked right around where he is right now. And that's just sort of that okay quarterback that can sort of get along with being average. I compare him a little bit to Derek Carr, who's good but not great, like a good quarterback, but will never be this spectacular top five, top 10 guy that's going to be able to win games for you. Sean McVay at the end of the game said that everything's going to be evaluated. I find it incredibly hard to believe that they move on from Jared Goff this quickly. But things change in the NFL very quickly, especially nowadays.
Yeah, I actually look at the situation a lot, you know, similarly to also the situation in the same division with the 49ers, because both, you know, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, both young coaches and very offensive minded, but both of them have quarterbacks who just have just very annoying limitations that I think are really holding back their skill set as well as play calling. And like you said, I do think Sean McVay will evaluate everything. And like you said, I don't think they move from him yet, but I don't see him sticking around on this team if he has another season like he did last season. Because even when he was not injured with the thumb injury, did not have a good season. Like, there's no getting by that. He did not have an impressive year. And I actually think it's actually a benefit for him to be in LA, because if he was in one of these big market teams like Philadelphia, Dallas, you know, one of those teams, I think there's a real possibility he already be out of a job, like, seriously. And, you know, maybe he improves in the offseason. Maybe he's more mobile than you think, but he just never uses his athleticism at all. And, you know, maybe he improves a little bit, but like you said, and like I've been saying for a while, the ceiling for Jared Goff is just too damn low, man. It really sucks.
Yeah, and maybe some competition is needed. You know, there's a lot of pretty talented quarterbacks in the draft that the Rams can pick with a later pick that won't be super detrimental, because they don't really have a whole lot of weak spots on this team. You know, maybe go and get a linebacker or two. But, you know, outside of that, there's no real, like, glaring weaknesses, and not a lot of them at the very least. So maybe go get a quarterback with your third round pick and see how he does competing with Jared Goff. And maybe that improves him. Who knows?
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I'm making a lot of comparisons in the early part of this episode. But I think the team situation for the LA Rams is also a little bit similar to Chicago, in the way that both teams have really good defenses, but you know, both have liabilities at quarterback. And, you know, I think both teams, you know, I know we're talking about the Rams mainly, but I think both teams do have the possibility of trying to move on their quarterbacks very soon. So as we head into the offseason, I definitely think that's a storyline that we need to monitor. But I would say that's probably the least interesting game of the divisional round. Let's move on to what I thought was going to be easily the most exciting game of the divisional round, and that was Baltimore and Buffalo. Even though I think everyone was talking about Tampa Bay and New Orleans, I picked this game that was a must sit down watch game. And let me tell you, I was completely wrong in a few ways. One, how does Baltimore score 3 points the whole game? I'll tell you how. Justin Tucker just absolutely loses all of his talent and all of his confidence in one game. And then Lamar Jackson doesn't play great. And then Lamar Jackson gets a concussion. And then they bring in a quarterback who I honestly forgot the name. I think his name was Huntley. I know his last name was Huntley. I think his name was Nathan Hunt. I can't remember his name, but he's irrelevant at this point. And Buffalo, even though they put up 17 points, they still take the lead. They still win by double digits. I mean, if you told me Buffalo was going to put up 17 points in this game, I would be like, okay, there's no way they win this game. I actually picked Baltimore to win this game. But of course, I can't predict injuries and Justin Tucker being the worst kicker in the league for one game. So absolutely madness of the game, and definitely a game that I would happily like to forget as quickly as I can.
Yeah, I mean, you're down 70, and in the middle of the fourth quarter, your star quarterback goes down. It's very difficult to come back at that point. And when Tyler Huntley, I believe is his first name, if you were wondering, when a guy like Ty comes in and tries to save this game and touchdowns in 8 minutes, it's very hard to do that. Buffalo's chances to win this game, according to went from 67% to 95% when Lamar Jackson got hurt. You know, it's very difficult to proves a little bit that Baltimore needs more help on offense. That's not just Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. Marquise Brown and Gus Edwards.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that take. They are in dire need of a true number one wide receiver, because they took, you know, Marquise Hollywood Brown, I think a few drafts ago. And let me tell you, he is not a number one receiver. Just from his body type, he just doesn't really fit that mold of what I like in a number one receiver. And they need to get one, because specifically in this year's draft, lots of receiver talent. So I need Baltimore really needs to capitalize on that. They obviously have other issues, but I think that's most prominent in my opinion. But you know, Lamar Jackson though, yeah, he obviously had a concussion. And was not able to go out in the fourth quarter and try to save his team. But besides that, still not a great performance. You know, he threw that horrible, horrible pick six when his team was inside the 10. And if you take away the pick six, Baltimore has scored, I'm trying to do the math in my head, Buffalo scored 10 points the entire game. Like, come on. Like, and then there's just Baltimore missed out on so many key opportunities. They really should have won this game if you're looking at it in a certain point of view. Like, Justin Tucker missed 2 field goals. That's 6 points right there. You know, that bumps up the Ravens score to 9. And then if you're watching this game, Jacob, Huntley, fourth quarter, fourth and 8, if I'm remembering correctly, throws it like 50 yards down the field, down the right sideline. Marquise Brown is wide open, and he just overshoots him by 10 yards. Like, that, it's a walk-in touchdown. Marquise Hollywood Brown could have backwalked into the end zone, and that would have opened up the game for sure. Like, just so many missed opportunities by Baltimore. They still deserve to lose. I'm not saying they didn't, but my man, I was just so disappointed in how just poorly played this game was, for lack of better words.
Yeah, Buffalo wins, and they probably didn't. Their offense accounted for 10 of the 17 points. Chiefs, hopefully they were taking notes, or at least watching this game, because Baltimore forced Josh Allen into making throws that he was not comfortable with making. They forced him to go downfield more and more often, and he just didn't look good doing that. And I think they they stunted the pass game and forced him to go to Devin Singletary more often. I mean, luckily for Buffalo, Lamar Jackson went down like he did, and when he did, because otherwise I think Baltimore sneaks away with
And I had said earlier, you know, I think Josh Allen, I think he's a wonderful player. I can't believe how much he's progressed these last, you know, 3 years, but he's still got limitations. I said this, you know, going into the game, he still has he has almost no experience when it comes to playoff football. And, you know, we've seen these two games during the playoff run this year, and Buffalo offensively has not looked that good. They haven't looked bad, but, you know, nothing like what they were in the regular season. Baltimore obviously doesn't have, you know, a terrible defense. They have a pretty good one. But, you know, taking away that pick six, like you said, they scored 10 points. 10 points. And this is easily probably one of the worst games Baltimore played all season long. I mean, it's just crazy to me how, you know, this game could have gone into multiple. I literally said this, if you go back and listen on the preview episode, I said I could see this game going literally 100 different ways, and I still didn't see this game going the way I thought it would. It's just mind-boggling sometimes. After this short break, we will be getting into the games that happened yesterday on Sunday. All right, let's move on to the Sunday slate of games that happened yesterday. These, in my opinion, were way more exciting than the games that happened on Sunday or on Saturday. Not just because I'm the Chiefs fan, but just in general, I was very excited to see, you know, Tom Brady and Drew Brees go at it one more time. But let's first talk about that Browns and Chiefs game. Let me just say this first. This is easily, obviously I'm the Chiefs fan, literally wearing the Chiefs hat. I've been a part of a Super Bowl. I've watched the Super Bowl, which up until this point was easily, you know, the most exciting and most nervous game I've ever been a part of. This might have topped it. This easily, I think actually easily topped it, because there was a point with about, you know, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And let me tell you, Jacob, I honestly thought I was going to have a panic attack. Like it was getting close. It was very close. Yeah,
you know, I was panicking a little bit for you while I was watching this game. I feel like when Patrick Mahomes went down in the middle of the third quarter, I feel like time stopped. Like when that happened, like just everything froze for a little bit, and everyone was holding their breath to see how we would hold up. And then he tried to stand up, and he hobbled over, and he stumbled a little bit. And I think everyone collectively said, "Oh no, this isn't good." And then the game progressed. The Browns clawed and scratched their way back into it. And then, Josh, anything's possible.
Oh no, I've heard that. I don't know. You call it a phrase. Literally, probably 1,000 times since the game has ended. It was okay for the first, you know, hour or so, but now it's just so old. As well as Chad Henne is. But yeah, this game, it was just insane. I know, you know, people who listen to me frequently want to hear my take. I had so many emotions during this game. Like the first half, I was astounded. I was so happy. If you listen to the preview episode, I was so worried that, you know, the Chiefs starters were going to come out really rusty, because he literally hadn't played a full game in 3 weeks. Like, and that's just a recipe for disaster in the NFL. And they come out on the first drive, touchdown. I mean, obviously, I don't even start about our kicker Harrison Butker just being an absolute just noob the whole game. But, you know, for the most part, offense played really well and defense played really well. We held Cleveland, who has easily, I think, the best running back tandem in the league, going against our run defense, which has been pitiful at times. We held them to 3 points in the first half. It was 19-3. Going into halftime. Absolutely astounded, so happy. And then the third quarter starts, and we pick off Baker Mayfield. Honey Badger had an interception, and we start out our drive, I think, at the Cleveland 30-yard line, or I think it was even the 20-yard line. And I'm just like, this is awesome. I love it. And then literally everything went downhill from there. We couldn't get the touchdown even on short field, and then obviously Mahomes gets injured. He already been dealing with a toe injury for the beginning portion of the game, but then obviously he takes the hit from, I forgot who gave him the hit, but you know, he comes up really wobbly and then he leaves the game, and I'm just so scared. My family actually was a little bit more scared. I thought, because they were showing the replays, and it really didn't look that bad at first glance. I was actually messaging Brian Sutter. He's been on the podcast before. He's a very famous YouTube doctor. And, you know, I was like, what happened? Because, you know, it says he's being evaluated for a concussion, but he barely got hit on his head. So it's just a really weird situation. And then going to the fourth quarter, early portion of the fourth quarter, it's announced that Mahomes is out for the entire game. And I, like, everything in my body just slouched down. Like you just shut down. Like, depression is just getting out of control here. And then Cleveland goes on a drive, and it's a 5-point game. I literally am just sitting there like, it's over. Like, what the heck is Henny going to do to, you know, help the Chiefs out? And guess what he does in his, like, first real drive? He throws an interception when we're already in Cleveland territory. Like, just, oh, like, just so just demoralizing. And then, but the Chiefs defense comes up huge. And then Henny does Henny things, which are just unexplainable. Has an incredible scramble on 3rd and 14. And then obviously the play everyone's talking about this morning in that 4th and 1 call, which most people are saying they had no idea was going to happen. I knew the instant that they spotted that ball short of the first down, I was like, this is the Chiefs. We go for the 4th down literally almost every time. So it wasn't really a surprise to me there. It was a surprise to me that we converted it in the play call that we did. The Chiefs get the first down and end the game. I know I just talked for like 3 minutes straight, but so much there is on my mind. I'll let Jacob take it for a little bit though.
Yeah, no, you're fine. It's good to be passionate. I think you were very lucky that this half ended 19-3 and not 16-10. Because in my opinion, I think that was a clear helmet-to-helmet hit that the referees missed, and it's not reviewable in the NFL, those kind of helmet-to-helmet infractions. I think you did dodge a bullet there a little bit, and I think Cleveland would have scored had they had the opportunity on 1st and goal. But nonetheless, halftime happens. It's 19-3, and the Chiefs' offense goes flat even with Mahomes. You only manage 3 points in the entire second half. Wait, and you sort of allow.
Okay, wait. I'll let you finish your take, then I'll go.
And you sort of allow Cleveland, to come back in this game. And like you said, to your credit, Mahomes had been battling a little bit of turf toe this entire game, and then he gets pile driven, to the ground and has a concussion, and he's out for the rest of the game, and the life is just sucked out of everybody at Arrowhead, You know, the Browns mount a comeback. They start getting their run game going. You know, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb looking like the running backs that they have been all season. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, it's 22-17. You know, like you said, to your credit, there was a huge interception by Chad Henne in the end zone. He threw it right to the D-back. But the Browns got the ball at the 20, and they got stopped immediately by the Chiefs defense. A huge momentum shift in the Browns' favor turned out to be nothing. The Chiefs' defense stopping Baker Mayfield and the offense in their tracks, and they're forced to punt it away. And the Chiefs have an opportunity to ice the game, and they do exactly that. A huge scramble by Chad Henne, and then fools everybody, including the people at home, except for maybe you, by running a play on 4th and 1 instead of trying to catch him offside and punt it away. And that ended up being the deciding factor. The question, obviously, is will Mahomes be around next week against Buffalo? A lot of people are saying yes, he'll be fine, but right. It's too early to tell.
So, yeah, I'll answer that question in a minute. Let me just say this. I don't know how you can say the offense, even with Mahomes in the second half, went flat because he got hurt with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. So I don't understand how you could say that. Also, your whole thing about the Cleveland, you know, fumble touchback, late portion of the first half. Now, obviously, is that a lucky play with the Chiefs? Absolutely. There's nothing, you know, obviously, that's almost will never happen. Very lucky play. Also, the whole helmet-to-helmet thing, I think that's a little ridiculous. Obviously, it should be a reviewable play, but I think that's a little bit, you know, biased coming from, you know, the NFL, you know, rule coach that came on air and said that. Because if you look at that play, and as a former football player, not a great one by any means, but just I've played football before, what is Daniel Sorensen supposed to do there? Because Rashard Higgins is diving for the pylon. That's what he's doing. So, and he's diving, and the way it's angled and the way Daniel Sorensen is running in, there's literally nothing else he could have done. So the whole point about how it was a dirty play, absolute nonsense. Is it illegal? Probably. But what is Daniel Sorensen supposed to do? Just let him dive for the pylon and give him no trouble? No. Daniel Sorensen did all that he could do. Not mad at Daniel Sorensen at all. And I completely agree with you. Even if, say, you know, what Rashard Higgins goes out of bounds, or, you know, he doesn't fumble the ball and is just short of the goal line, whatever, Cleveland, I 100% agree, does score in that drive, making it 16-10 or 16-9 if they miss the PAT. But there is a minute and 30 left on the clock, and the way Mahomes was playing in the first half, they are absolutely going down and at least getting a field goal. So I don't want to hear anyone saying, oh, it would have been 16-10 going into halftime. No, it wouldn't have. It absolutely wouldn't have. So that's ridiculous, and I'll let you reball that before I talk about Mahomes' concussion injury.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to bet against the Chiefs offense, but like, there's no way for us to be able to tell for sure that the Chiefs would have scored with a minute 30. Obviously, on the goal line, practically, the Browns have an opportunity to put at least 3 points on the board. So I think people are saying 16-10 because you're assuming that they're going to punch it in with two stellar running backs at the goal line, but they're at least putting 3 points on the board, and at the very least, it should have been 16-13. Or no, 16, what it would have been, 16-10.
Right, or 19-10.
Yeah, no, whatever it would have been, it should have been that. But like you said, you know, what is Sorensen supposed to do? Not much. And I agree with you. I don't think it was necessarily a dirty hit. It's just a matter of, you know, like, what else is he supposed to do? Obviously, it's an illegal hit, but, you know, he's not really meant to do much. I mean, I think it was the right play for him to do, was to drop the shoulder and drop the head and just go after the football and make it pop out. And to his credit, that's exactly what happened. But, you know, he can't really do much else. And the fact that people are calling that a dirty play is a little short-minded and probably should be taken with a grain of salt. I don't think it was a dirty hit, personally. I think it was a football move. It just happened to be helmet to helmet.
Right. I just said dirty hit because I definitely have seen people say it's a dirty hit. I think they even made it said it was a dirty hit on the broadcast, which it's just not. It's not a dirty hit at all. There is way worse helmet-to-helmet collisions in the NFL than what happened on that play in Kansas City yesterday.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, of course. But let's give that to, you know, the prime story that has come away from this game, Mahomes' injury. Let's first talk about the toe injury just very quickly. I literally have no idea how severe that is. I mean, I'm not sure if it's just a bruise or like that. I know there's a press conference with Andy Reid that I think is happening as we speak right now. So I think we'll get an update on that hopefully today. I think he'll be okay. That's obviously not what I'm worried about most. The thing I'm worried about most is that concussion. And I was talking to a lot of people last night on social media, and the whole notion that I have seen heading up to this point as we're recording right now, Mahomes is gonna play. Like I like, because leaving that game with the victory, literally probably 5 minutes after that game ended, my whole entire mindset shifted to Buffalo, and it's like, are we just gonna get creamed by Buffalo because, you know, Mahomes has a concussion and we're got to start Chad Henne at quarterback versus Josh Allen? Like that was where my mind was at, you know, early after that game was over. But sitting here right now, I have a lot more confidence. I am pretty confident Mahomes will be able to play this Sunday. And the thing that I have seen is that we'll know for sure come Wednesday, because that is the first official day of practice. And this is all from Adam Schefter, not my words. But so we should know either by Wednesday or Thursday the official status of Mahomes for Sunday. And I will also be putting out a conference prediction episode on either Thursday or Friday. So we'll also be on the lookout for that.
Turf toe is not the issue here. because a couple months ago, Antonio Gibson, the running back for the Washington football team, had turf toe and he was back the next week. So I'm not concerned with Mahomes' left foot. I'm more concerned with his head because obviously everyone wants to know, is he going to be okay? Is he not? And in my lifetime, I've had two concussions. And the recovery to get back onto the field in a week, obviously it's different for me as opposed to, 24, 25 year old who's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play right. football. obviously I'm not comparing myself to Holmes. I'm just saying that, you know, I've had concussions.
Nor should you.
Right. No, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm just as good as Mahomes, but you know, I've never played a down of organized football in my life, but, you know, the road to be able to get back to 100% full strength in a week is tough. You know, obviously athletes are built different. But you know, if the general consensus is, you know, oh, he'll be back for football, he might be back against the Bills next week, but is he going to be back fully 100%? And I think to that, I say no, because it's a concussion. You know, if it was just the turf toe, I think he would be perfectly fine and we wouldn't be talking about this anyways. But because it's a concussion and because it works your brain and your head and it's such a dangerous, you know, piece that you've got on your body, you know, I think it's hard to tell. Obviously, we're sitting here Monday trying to figure out whether he'll be back in 6 days. But I think it's going to be hard for him to be back 100%. Let alone, you know, back at all.
Right. Yeah. So I can understand that, you know, I for sure don't think he's going to be 100%, you know, come Sunday, but here's the thing with the NFL. When you're this far into the season, literally no one is 100% besides maybe the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper. So that I'm not, you know, really concerned about at all, to be honest. But you know, kind of last words on the Mahomes concussion thing, you know, when you just look at that hit, and just look at the video angles that we've seen, it really is the least severe that I think we could have expected. Like, he's literally running off into the locker room. Like, he's literally in a full-on sprint. And, you know, I think that's a really good sign. And I know I've had, I think, one concussion in my entire life, maybe two, but I know I at least have one. And a thing that you're not supposed to really do is be on your phone at all, or at least look at a lot of screens. And literally, you know, 2 or 3 minutes after that game is over, Mahomes is on his phone tweeting. And then I actually took a couple screenshots, some of his Twitter activity as well. And he responded to a tweet put out by, I'm blanking on the first name, but it's last name is Wilson, linebacker for the Browns, asking Mahomes directly, is he going to be okay? And Mahomes literally replied, said, yeah, I'm going to be fine. So the whole, literally everything I've seen, I mean, obviously it could change at any given time. The general consensus right now is that Mahomes will be back on that field come Sunday. So I'm definitely excited, and we'll be talking about the Chiefs and Bills game in just a few minutes, just very briefly. But let's talk about the last game that happened this Sunday, and that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. And let me just tell you, I saw this game coming a mile away. I had no chance of predicting what happened with Baltimore and Buffalo, but this game, I literally could not have predicted this one better than I did. I thought it was going to be a little more competitive, but man, you know, Drew Brees and the Saints, I mean, I think this was a long time coming, just the way that they've been playing for the past, you know, month or two. And it is sad to maybe see that's you know, Drew Brees' last game ever in his entire career, but it's certainly, you know, not, it was more than predictable. I mean, the guy just looked old. Like, he had nothing left in the tank. You know, I've seen a lot of people today, especially credit Tom Brady for the victory. Drew Brees put him in the positions that made him successful at winning this game. So, you know, I think you could look at it a lot of different ways. How are you looking at this game, Jacob?
It's hard for me to sit up here and say that Drew Brees is done. I mean, he threw three interceptions, three silly, stupid interceptions from a guy that's supposed to be the most accurate passer in the NFL, in the history of the NFL. That's his thing. He's accurate. He'll throw the football into really tight windows and he'll make completions. But you know, three silly mistakes and even more that didn't result in interceptions. And it's hard for me to believe that he'll be done after that. Like, that's not what Drew Brees is about. He's not going to go down like that. And, you know, Jameis Winston in his one play, it was a good throw. And he was wide open. I was watching First Take this morning, and Stephen A. said that there wasn't even a referee in the vicinity to try and intercept it. You know, but like, he's old, dude, like you said, and he's making mistakes that he shouldn't be making. And you know, with the cap crunch that the Saints are going to be in this offseason, it's hard for me to believe that he's going to be coming back. You know, but at the same time, does he want to go out with a game like that? Of course not. You know, everyone wants to be, you know, go out winning a Super Bowl with a bouquet of flowers in your hand and riding off in the sunset like Peyton Manning did, basically.
Right.
But the reality is that's not going to happen every single time.
No, like, and here's kind of my take on, you know, the whole, you know, Drew Brees situation. It actually has to do with Tom Brady as well, because I, for one, am not a huge fan of Tom Brady. I've said this before. I have the ultimate respect for him, but there's no doubting and there's no hiding that he's definitely annoying with his greatness. Tom Brady is 43 years old, and he looks almost 10 years younger than Drew Brees does right now, because Drew Brees, like, the guy can't even throw. It looks like he can't even throw the ball 40 yards. Like, I think I heard a stat, I think in the fourth quarter, that Drew Brees had yet to throw a pass over 25 air yards. That's ridiculous. Like, his arm is just cooked. And this is with, he was out for like 4 or 5 games. So it's just, it's sad to see, you know, because we've seen this before, you know, 1 year, a relatively older quarterback looks pretty darn good, you know, like relatively elite. And then the next year, they just completely fall off. And that's essentially what has happened with Drew Brees. You know, it was 2 years ago, because the MVP race was Mahomes and Drew Brees, and Mahomes beat him out. But Drew Brees had a phenomenal year. And Drew Brees even last year was pretty good. And this year, I don't even think he's top 10 anymore, to be honest. And it's really sad because, you know, there have been reports for probably 2 weeks now that Drew Brees was for sure retiring, you know, once he lost in the playoffs. And now with this, you know, performance against Tampa Bay, he said his decision isn't final, but it sure seems like it is. I hope it's not. I mean, but, you know, even if he does come back, will he be anything like his old self? I doubt it. I mean, man, and I also really feel bad for New Orleans fans, because, you know, they have just been dealing with so many home playoff losses over the last, you know, 5 years or so. It's been brutal for them. And now, you know, if it is, you know, Drew Brees' final career game, you know, who is going to be the quarterback for New Orleans Saints going forward? Is it going to be Jameis? Is it going to be Taysom? Are they going to draft one? I mean, lots of questions are going to be surrounding the New Orleans Saints this offseason.
Yeah, and quarterback is not the only question. You know, like I said, Trey Hendrickson had a breakout year just in time for him to hit free agency. You know, Michael Thomas has been barely the receiver that he was a couple years ago. He had 0 catches in this game. He had the same amount of receiving yards as you and I did, Josh.
Oh, jeez.
You know, so something like that needs to be figured out. You know, obviously, Alvin Kamara recently got paid, but he's taking up a lot of cap. And it's just a lot of questions that need to be answered this offseason. And they start, you know, arguably maybe with Trey Hendrickson, but they definitely start with Drew Brees and what they do at quarterback, because Jameis Winston is being paid, you know, currently $1 million just for this year. And that's done now. So are they going to extend him? Are they going to let him go? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with Taysom Hill? Like you said, is he going to become the guy in New Orleans? I certainly hope he doesn't. I don't think he has the qualities to be the standalone quarterback in New Orleans. Maybe he's the bridge guy. Maybe they put Taysom Hill in this year and they go draft someone next year, or they draft someone this year. Who knows? Maybe they'll have, you know, a Kyle Trask or a Mac Jones fall into their lap and they figure something out with one of those guys. You know, a lot of it starts with Drew Brees.
Right, yeah. So if you were asking me, you know, the quarterback situation in New Orleans, here's kind of my take. You know, this is if Drew Brees has just played his last game. Taysom Hill to me is no way the guy going forward. He's just not. His role as the gadget player in New Orleans, I think, suits him perfectly. I really can't see him, you know, being an improvement in a different role for that team. Jameis, I think, is amazing. I love the story of Jameis. I will never not hesitate to say that I want to see as much Jameis as humanly possible. Would I like to see him in a starting quarterback for New Orleans? Yes, I would. Not even considering if he's the best option. I would just love to see that. And I think he honestly could be the starter for 1 year. I know there's lots of quarterback talent in this year's draft as well, but, you know, kind of where the Saints are in a draft position, it's not, you know, that helpful. They probably have to trade up if they wanted to get, you know, their guy, most likely. So then you're looking back to, next year's draft. I mean, it is kind of a sticky situation. If you're asking me what they should do, if you're not confident or don't even like, you know, the quarterbacks coming out in this year's draft, just start Jameis. Like, because there's no way Jameis could be as, you know, inconsistent as he was in his final year at Tampa Bay. And, you know, the Saints have had, you know, their Super Bowl window. But with his loss yesterday, I think that Super Bowl window has officially closed. So I think they should really look, you know, it hurts to stay. You never want to say this. It's going to be kind of like a bridge year, like you said. And I think that does start with Jameis Winston being the quarterback next year.
Yeah, and I think if you were to ask me, I would probably say the same thing, you know, lock up Jameis for a year and, you know, stick him into the starting role and maybe draft a guy either this year or next year and have that guy compete with Jameis throughout the entire year. And then by the end of next year, make a decision. Do you let Jameis walk or do you bring in this new guy that you drafted last year and, you know, work with him and sculpt him? And you know, if Drew Brees does come back, then I think you definitely draft a guy this year and have Drew Brees mentor him. And then Drew Brees, you know, rides off into the sunset, and now you've got this Drew Brees sculpted quarterback that you've drafted now, and he becomes the guy moving forward.
Right. So bottom line is it's impossible to tell, you know, what exactly is going to happen to the Saints this offseason. Let's talk about Tampa Bay just really quickly. I honestly am happy that they won this game for this reason only. They are easily the better team to challenge Green Bay at Green Bay this coming Sunday, because Drew Brees, if he were have to go up to Green Bay and try to battle Aaron Rodgers in that climate, ain't no way that's going to happen with the way he's been playing lately. And I don't care about the pieces around them. Like, no way are the Saints going to Green Bay and taking the victory there. But with the way Tampa Bay has been playing lately, I think Tampa Bay has a real chance. Not saying it's likely, but they have a chance. Because the whole thing with Green Bay is it's cold, it's not favorable playing conditions, and the team that's already there is already used to that acclimate weather. Tom Brady, he's already been used to that weather. He's been playing in that type of weather, in that type of climate, for literally two decades. So the whole thing about, you know, the weather affecting the game, I think that is pretty much out the window, if you're asking me. Obviously, Green Bay is a better team, but Tampa Bay in this game, I mean, yeah, they had you know, favorable field position for a lot of their scoring drives, but they're still deadly. They can throw it through the air. They now have a pretty solid running game, if you ask me. You know, Leonard Fournette has really come on during the postseason. Obviously, the defense is a little bit up and down. They're pretty solid or relatively terrible. It's kind of interesting. But yeah, I think Tampa Bay is definitely scary when they go up to Green Bay.
At the beginning of this playoffs, I was thinking to myself, you know, which team has the best chance of toppling Green Bay? Because I think Green Bay is the presumptive favorite to come out of the NFC East or the NFC, not the NFC East. What am I talking about? And I was thinking to myself, you know, who's going to topple Green Bay? And I legitimately think that, you know, if anyone's going to be able to topple Green Bay, of course it's Tom Brady. Because, you know, it's obviously the road goes through Lambeau, but, you know, it's cold in New England as well. And like you said, I think the weather plays no part in this matchup. And I think it will truly be, you know, a battle of the better quarterbacks. Two high octane offenses battling, and two, you know, defenses that are very much bend, don't break. Obviously, there were high expectations for Tampa Bay's defense, and they haven't exactly lived up to those expectations. But, it's still a good defense. Like, no knock against the guys on defense for Tampa Bay, but it's still a good defense, similar to Green Bay's. And I think this will be a really, really good matchup between two very, very strong teams that have very little weaknesses in their game.
Right. Kind of, you know, piggyback off that. I said very early on in this, playoffs, if Tampa Bay beat Washington, I had them going to the Super Bowl. And like I said, in our prediction, you know, just this week, I doubled down saying that was going to happen. And look what happened. Tampa Bay beats New Orleans and now they're in the NFC Championship game. And who wants to face Tom Brady in January? Nobody. The dude is the most seasoned veteran playoff quarterback of all time. And Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he's amazing and he's been arguably the MVP this year. He doesn't have as much experience as Tom Brady does. And, you know, the Packers looked absolutely incredible against the Rams this past Saturday. But they were going against a very limited offense. And, yes, the Green Bay offense is definitely better than the Tampa Bay offense, but the Tampa Bay offense at least has the ability to punch back after they've been beaten down. So I think it's going to be a very, very good game. And just before we get off this episode or wrap up this episode, we are going to talk about these two championship games right after this break. All right, Jacob. So for the last portion of this episode, because I know you're not going to be with me on the preview episode that will be going on either Thursday or Friday of this week, let's just talk about these two, conference championship games very quickly, starting with the NFC. So that's Packers and Tampa Bay. Give me your thoughts on that game just really quickly.
I covered it briefly when talking about the Bucs game that happened a couple days ago or whenever this episode comes out. That this was going to be two high octane offenses, that rely heavily on their quarterbacks. And, you know, it's going to be a really fun game, I think. Obviously weather's not going to be a factor. And the fact that it's the early game is a little bit, criminal. But it should be really fun. Two defenses that are very much bend, don't break, and two offenses that, like I said, rely heavily on their quarterbacks. It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Right. And I, like I said before, I am going to do a preview episode for both games, breaking them down fully. But I will just say this really quickly. I am incredibly excited about this game just because the fact that Tampa Bay is going against Green Bay. I this game would be a lot less interesting to me personally if it was New Orleans Green Bay. I honestly think it could be a blowout if that would have happened, but it's not. It's Tampa Bay this time. And just the thought about, because Tom Brady in his career, obviously he's been playing his whole career up until this point with New England. Tom Brady has owned Aaron Rodgers when they go head to head. That's just been that you can look up the records. It's really incredible, the stats when they go up head to head. But now Aaron Rodgers is definitely in a more favorable position. You know, he's at home. He has a better team, the more consistent team. But you look back at when they played in week 6, absolutely got demolished by Tampa Bay. If I'm remembering correctly, the final score was 38-10. Like, not even a competition. Actually, fun fact before I talk even more about the game, both of these conference championship games happened in week 6. Tampa Bay played Green Bay at home week 6, and Kansas City traveled to Buffalo in week 6. How cool is that? But just to finish, quickly talk about this game, I think this game is... I really could see this game, being like coming down to the fourth quarter, because both of these passing offenses can be so highly effective at times. I think it's really interesting too, because I think this, like, because you can make an argument that, Green Bay has a better passing attack, but, as of now, Tampa Bay has a more consistent rushing offense now that Leonard Fournette has really come on these past few games. I don't know. I think this is more of an even matchup than I think people realize.
Yeah, I mean, this will probably be the game of the weekend with Patrick Mahomes's status being unknown. You know, obviously, if we know Patrick Mahomes is 100% going into this, it's more of a fight between, you know, which game is going to be more interesting to watch. I think with Mahomes being less than 100%, I think this is definitely the game to watch.
Sorry, I'm just fixing the screen real quick.
I'll keep talking a little bit. You know, obviously, it's not just the passing offense that both teams have. You know, obviously, Aaron Jones has been a top 10, top 5 running back, wherever you want to put him. And the Tampa Bay offense, their running game has been, you know, less than spectacular. But, you know, obviously, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette have both been doing numbers. Leonard Fournette is more of a receiving threat. That's how they've been using him. But Ronald Jones has been, you know, fine as a running option. He's done just enough, I think, to fool defenses into, you know, wondering, you know, are they going to go pass? Are they going to go run? And I think Ronald Jones is fine. And then you look at the receiving core. Obviously, we talked about Adams, Valdes-Scandling, Alan Lazard for the Packers. Tampa Bay's receiving core, you could argue, is significantly better. You know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin obviously are two spectacular receivers. Scotty Miller has emerged to be Tom Brady's Julian Edelman in Tampa Bay. And Gronk, despite coming out of retirement to join Tom Brady one last time, you know, looks like the old tight end that he was.
Right. Yeah. I just think there's just an incredible amount of storylines that can come out from this game. One, you know, Tampa Bay has basically put this whole team together in virtually a year or two, more a year, you know, because they've brought on Gronk, they brought on Antonio Brown, they brought on Tom Brady, they bring in Leonard Fournette. Like, all these players are just coming onto this team virtually for 1 year, and they're going out and doing what they can do. And this Packers team has just kind of slowly evolved. You know, they developed these, you know, Valdes-Scantling. You know, they've had Davante Adams, you know, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, you know, Aaron Jones, you know, late round draft pick, and has really burst onto the scene. And I think it could really be a matchup. You know, what wins out? You know, obviously there's other factors, but it could be looked at in this way. You know, is it more important to have a team that's, you know, more well gelled together and has more team chemistry, or can you make an argument that, you know, talent wins out, and, you know, it's not necessarily the most important thing to have chemistry? I know there's lots of other factors in the game, but I think that is a really compelling storyline, if you ask me. Let's move on to the Chiefs and Browns game, though, just before we wrap up this episode. Or Chiefs and Bills. This game, like I said before, has already happened in Week 6. The Chiefs went to Buffalo and won 26-17. In a game where the Chiefs won in a very different way, in that they absolutely ran the ball down the Buffalo Bills' throat. If I remember correctly, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, when he was healthy, ran for 160 yards in this game. And I'm sure he had more scrimmage yards than that. So, really interesting game, because the Chiefs have already shown that they can beat the Bills in a variety of ways. You know, if Mahomes is healthy, which it looks like he will be back on the field this Sunday, obviously, even if Mahomes is not 100%, he can obviously throw it down the field and create havoc in the passing attack. But they've already shown they can run the ball as well. So even if Chad Henne is forced to go out there, I do have confidence that the Chiefs can run the ball and run the ball effectively come Sunday against the Bills.
I always seem to have a little fun fact every week, and this week is no different. This is the first time in a while, actually the first time in the AFC's history, that a team will host the AFC Championship 3 years in a row. Obviously, the Chiefs doing that with a win against Cleveland. The last and only other time this has happened was with Philadelphia in 2000, I believe, 2003 and 2004. And Andy Reid was the coach of both of those teams, which, you know, I thought was interesting reading that. But back to the game, it's hard for me to watch the Bills-Ravens game a couple days ago and confidently say that the potent Bills offense that we've known all season will come out to play against Kansas City.
Right.
You know, obviously, I think Kansas City has a little bit of a weaker defense than Baltimore does. Obviously, you know, both defenses are good but not great, like you always say. But it's hard for me to believe that this Buffalo team is going to show up, especially, you know, with the coaching wizard that Andy Reid is. Obviously, he's going to do his homework on the Bills and what the Ravens did right and wrong and execute on those weak points and force Josh Allen into throws that he's not comfortable making. You mentioned that even if Chad Henne does play a majority of this game, that the Chiefs can win. I believe that as well. You know, if Mahomes does come out to play, I think this will be even more in the Chiefs' favor than it already is. But this is more winnable after Buffalo's win against Baltimore, where they didn't look strong at all, at least offensively.
No, yeah. And I think you and me definitely see this game in a very similar manner. You know, I mean, it's tough because if this game was happening 2 weeks earlier and you just and the Bills had not played their games against the Colts and the Ravens, I'd be a lot more scared, me personally, because the Bills coming into this postseason were, I think, easily the hottest team in the NFL. But these last two games, especially this last game against Baltimore, who, like you just said, the defense was good but not great. The Chiefs defense has had, you know, they've had the tendency in the postseason to play better than what they really are, especially in the regular season. I mean, there's just so many factors to this game, and I will be breaking it down entirely when there is more information out there. And with that being said, that is going to wrap up this episode of HQI Sports. I really hope you guys did enjoy it. You know, I've had such a fun time, you know, talking and breaking down the entire NFL playoffs. It's been so exciting, very unpredictable, just like I said, very similar to the regular season as well. And, you know, there's only four teams left and it's coming down to the wire, and it is getting even more exciting and even more nerve-wracking, especially because, you know, my team is still up in the mix. But either way, either team left in the playoffs still has to win two more games to get to the sweet home, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You know, the breakdown episode for the NFL conference championship is going to be on Thursday or Friday. So be sure you guys are subscribed to the HQI Sports, especially on Apple Podcasts, to make sure you guys are alerted as soon as that episode goes live. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I'll see you guys next time.